Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Buffalo, to Beach & Company. Sandy's out today. You'll have him back on Monday. It's Michael Caputo in his stead. You'll hear me tomorrow as well. We've got just under an hour left in the show today. 11:08. A lot going on. I want to get through these phone calls quickly. I've got another topic I want to tend to. I think it's something we need to talk about quickly, though, on our text board, our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Michael, Collins always came to our ag dinners and stood in the center of the room for the better part of the night to answer questions. He always served our area well. Nate says he'll work with the president. Then he says he'll stand up to the president, like Eddie Haskell on steroids. Very passionate plea from Kelly, and it took a lot for her to say it. I agree with her 3 out of 4 sacrifices and understand Michael's point about having to allow the opposition equal time. Michael, it's more than that, another texter. I agree with that woman, Kelly. WBEN seems to ask McMurray about everything Collins says. I've never seen a station ask the opposing candidate to comment on every political ad. I understand you want open and honest news, but let McMurray come to them. Don't seek comments every time Collins goes to the bathroom. Oh, boy. We got a lot of comments. Dead Goat 2018. Looks like Kelly really stirred up some people. Kelly was nervous. You know, you could tell she put her thoughts down. She put a lot of thought into it. I really appreciated Kelly's call. Kelly, you call in any time. All right. Let me see here who's been hanging on. Frank in Niagara Falls. How you doing? Hi, Frank.
You know, that call from Mrs. Dead Goat Kelly Collins was very emotional, Mike.
You think that's Kelly Collins?
You know what really irks me, Mike?
What's that, Frank?
Anytime Republicans are investigated, conservatives scream innocent until proven guilty. But you people have no problem with cops being judge, jury, and executioner on minorities. It's so sad. But anyway,
I think it's pretty sad that you have zero respect for the police.
Yeah, well, you know, this is New York. It's not if, it's when. Chris Collins is convicted. You know, the taxpayers have to pay for a special election. And New York 27th will have to go through this all over again. And you know, I understand why Chris Collins won't debate Nate McMurray.
Don't count that out. I'm not sure that that's that's a certainty.
Well, because of his trial for insider trading, he'd have to take the fifth for most of the debate.
Now, that's not true, Frank. And I don't think you should say that there's not going to be a debate. I think Nate is hopeful there will be one, and I think the Collins people are thinking about it.
Well, that's still no way to run a campaign. You know, a sane person don't need optics of Collins walking into a courthouse, you know?
I get it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. Let me see who's next one up. Harold in Varysburg. Hi, Harold. How you doing?
Great, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
Two or three callers ago, I just picked it up, and he was talking about, people supporting Collins just to support the Republican Party. The people that are supporting Collins, like me, holding my nose, because I do think he's a defective person. Mm-hmm. But I want... I'm voting for Trump's party. Trump has taken over the Republican Party, certainly at the national level. And it's no longer your dad's Republican Party.
That's true. I mean, I think that there's a lot of regret for that out of the establishment types, inside the Beltway types, the swamp things. I hear it all the time from Republicans when I go to Washington. That's why I try not to go very often. But, you know, and again, it's a vote for the president's agenda or against the president's agenda. That's what New York 27 is.
Amen. Yes. And there are the last good Democrats that I actually voted for as a lifetime Republican were John LaFalce, because he changed his position to pro-life after hearing protesters that were civil. Ralph Quattrochakis, senator from Greece, and Joe Robach, and I think they both switched to Republican.
Right, right.
Saw the light.
Yeah, well, I mean, things are changing. Things are shifting. I think the Republican Party, like, you don't have to look any further than the trade policies of the Trump administration versus the previous 30 years of Republican positions. Trade is now, it's turned on its head. We'll see where the president takes us on that. You know, the trade war with China is still going on, and we've got some local companies here that are that's taking a bite out of them. But, we'll, you know, these fights go on until they're won or lost.
Correct.
And people, you know, there are casualties along the way, but the president's position is being tough on China is more important in the long run. Hey, Harold, thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you. Yep.
Thank you very much. I'm going to head. Let me see. Jerry in Grand Island. How you doing, Jerry?
How you doing, Mr. Caputo?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
I'm glad a lot of your problems have been resolved. We're always rooting for you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm calling in support of Kelly. Let me tell you, she gave you a lot of good information there that hasn't been getting out about Mr. McMurray. I tried calling in there when he was on the air. I wanted to confront him. You should ask him about island policies, what he's done about them. I mean, he's been terrible, and he did sneak his way into that election. I mean, it was great tactics, but he came in at the 11th hour. He put signs where they didn't belong, one of them right in front of my house, one of them on state land right next to my house, just inundated the whole area with "we need a change" without even saying what the change was. Just crazy. And we've had several very good supervisors in Grand Island, but he does. He uses bullying tactics. I went in there about a problem with the Easy Pass. It's been going on for 7 years. I can tell you that with two previous supervisors, it's been discussed, McMahon and Mary Cook, and both of them listened to what I had to say, and they fought for me, and that pretty much stayed open the whole time until Mr. McMurray got involved, and all of a sudden I was a guilty party. I was no, because he couldn't do anything about it. His hands were tied, basically. And he didn't really try. He just made one phone call and said, "Oh, this is what they said." And let me tell you how serious it was. It went from getting a little yellow light when you go through the thing to the state claiming I owed him $52,000. And that was with Nick from, I can't remember the state senator we had before, it was an Italian last name, but Nick from his office handled my case. And while he was...
Grisanti, I think, right.
Grisanti, right.
Yeah, Nick, I know Nick. He's a good fella.
Nick was great. I know he got sick. I would love to know how to get a hold of him now because he did so much for that office. And I don't know what happened to him when Grisanti wasn't reelected. But the thing is, he fought like a pit bull. Even with him on the phone, once they made a derogatory, it's one person, which I won't mention his name, in state government that happens to be in charge of Easy Pass. And he made a derogatory comment toward veterans, and I'm a disabled veteran, while I was on a three-way conference call with Nick, and I mean, I almost lost it. And Nick, I didn't say nothing. Nick said, "Jerry, thanks for not saying anything." I mean, if I would have been in Syracuse, that 518 number was, I think I would have I'd have grabbed him. I mean, just unbelievable. And Nate McMurray, I mean, he was up there taking credit for everything. A little park we got by under the bridge, I personally saw Mary Cook over there trimming flowers on her day off. You know, Nate's none of that. Nate's all about the politic of it. He really is. He runs roughshod over people. He tried to bully me. I wouldn't take it. I just walked out of his office. He thinks that he can just overtalk anybody. And really, you really need to get and listen to people that live on the island that have lived. You know what they say? You want to know more about a man? Talk to some of the people that work for him, you know? And it's kind of like that. You know, we live there. We might as well have a toll booth at the end of our driveway. We have to use the tolls. And you have a problem, you expect to get representation. He's busy taking credit for those cashless tolls that, by the way, we've collected less than 7%. 7% since the beginning of it from Canadian people that have used our bridge. What
Man.
A move that was, you know?
Jerry, you and Kelly, between the two of you, have packed full of information.
Oh, I'm telling you, she was so spot on. I felt so bad for her because I could hear the trembling in her voice.
I don't know. It didn't matter to our listeners, man. We're getting Kelly 2018 on our text board. She should feel very proud of herself.
And I'm voting for Collins, but I'm not voting for Collins. I'm with the previous caller. I'm voting for the president, you know? Simple as that.
I hear you, man.
Okay, you have a great day.
We need to get your you need to get your message out, man. Call in more. Talk to your neighbors. Thanks a lot for calling in, Jerry. Really appreciate it.
Okay, take care, Mike.
Thank you very much. Before we go to commercial break, I'm going to take a quick call from Amy in Williamsville. What's up, Amy?
Hi, Michael. Oh, by the way, just a personal note, thank you for your advice you gave me on Facebook Messenger yesterday about who to contact about my issue.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
First of all, Nate McMurray, it's like, what? Every time someone calls him for an interview, he's right there.
That's all he's got, though, Amy. He's not running TV ads. He's not running radio ads. He's running an earned media campaign, you know, one of those, you know, free interview campaigns. It's hard to win that way, but that's what he's got. You know?
But this is what really caused me to call in.
Sure.
Dan from West Seneca said, if he's not doing a good job, then we'll vote him out. No, this is why I agree with term limits, because, and I fought with people when I was in college in American government, too, about this online. If that were true, why is Mr. carries a podium around with him, Schumer, still in office?
Right.
Why did Sheldon Silver have to get busted before he got out of office?
No, no doubt.
You know, it's like, it seems to me like some people just don't pay attention, just vote party lines, and that's it.
That's true, and I think that's an argument for term limits, you know, codified into law where, you know, down in Florida, I was living down there before I moved home, state senators and state representatives, they have term limits. And then when somebody who's a state representative then moves up to state senate, and then they're out. You know, if they don't run for governor or, you know, agriculture commissioner or United States senator or House representatives, they go back to their law firm or their insurance business. And it seems to work out pretty well in Florida. Well, we don't have it in New York, though, for sure.
No, we don't.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, Amy. I was glad to help you. Reach out to me anytime you want. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach, who's off on a cruise. I don't know if any of you listeners have been on these cruises with Sandy, but they have a blast. He'll be back on Monday, tanned, rested, and ready. You got me for another 36 minutes. It's 11:24 here on the studios of Entercom Buffalo in beautiful downtown Amherst. We've been talking about the Collins and McMurray race. We've had some really good callers. I really appreciate it. Let me grab one more caller before we go on a commercial break. Dick and Evans, how are you?
Pretty good, Mike. I talked to you a couple of years ago. It's imperative that people understand, I think most of them do, Collins did a terrific job for me, his representative up in Lancaster. I called the office. I had a problem with the SSA, Social Security Administration. I went down there, and they asked me, who do you know? I said, what do you mean, who do I know? I says, I called my congressman. That was the next day. You know, anybody that talks any crap about Collins doesn't know what they're talking about. The man sat in the RAF building. He was our county supervisor. This pulling cars, that's all he knows how to do is build bike paths, okay? And the ones that they do, they don't do them right anyway. But anyway, to make a long story short, I think Collins, if people don't vote for Collins, it's going to be a disaster. Because if we get this clown from Grand Island, that's only been a town supervisor for how long, and he doesn't know his rear end from his, you know, from the window that he opens, okay? And, you know, the guy just, you know, he doesn't have the experience or the know-how. Chris Collins is worth over $100 million. That's the guy I want to work for, okay? And you work for a guy that was worth over $10 billion.
Yeah.
That's the guy that you wanted to work for, but... You know, with all these people, these scumbags in Washington, Trump made a very bad mistake. He should have fired every one of them people from the Obama administration.
No doubt.
One of them.
No doubt. You're absolutely right, Dick. That's one of the big disappointments I have with this president.
You know, I'm 75 years old, Mike, you know. And, you know, I fear for my grandchildren and my kids. And you do the same.
I do.
You know, if these people take over this country, which... It looks like it's getting pretty nasty out there, especially out in California and the West Coast. And we've even got some of that down in New York City. But if things don't, if they don't straighten this out like Don Paul was, or, you know, our the Senator Ron Paul.
Right.
If he doesn't, I was watching him on Fox. If they don't get this straightened out, they're going to have some real big problems in this country.
Boy, Dick, are your mouth to God's ears. In fact, I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes of this show talking about those problems. We hear, I mean, Rand Paul, he's still recovering from the attack on him in his front yard.
Well, it wasn't just him, Mike. Look at all the other people. You know, Pam Bondi and, you know, even Ted Cruz.
Yep.
I mean, these people aren't safe anymore.
You're right.
You know, and like Sean Hannity was saying last night, you know, he's praying that nothing really happens, seriously. But these people are on the edge of the losing. They've already lost their minds.
Yeah, they have.
And they don't understand what's got to be done. Yeah, but if they try to railroad Kavanaugh, I think Kavanaugh started this Republican revolt, because you're going to see a massive turnout of Republicans. If you've been watching all the, you know, doings that Trump has been going, I told him, you know, I sent a little note to him. And, I you know, my favorite movie was the movie with Errol Flynn. Mm-hmm. And it was about, you know, the... I can't remember the name of the movie.
Well, anyway, tell us the plot, what you were talking about.
But anyway, he got in a battle with, he attacked three French frigates off of Port Royal. And I can remember him just saying one thing: keep on hitting that water line, pound that water line, because that's what Trump is doing. And I hope he gets every city, major city in the country before this, you know, before the election.
Dick, you call in anytime you want. I liked it. Why'd you wait 2 years to call me?
I'd like to meet you, sir, but, you know, I'm 75. I'm out in the boonies. I used to do a lot of work in East Aurora, and, you know, that's a real nice town.
It is. I love it. I'm out in Evans a lot. I may be out in Evans this weekend with Dave DiPietro. He's a good friend of mine. I'm working on his campaign. But Dick, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Man, the enthusiasm out of Dick. He may be 76 years old, but he's got the heart of a 20-year-old, doesn't he? Amazing. He's right. He's absolutely right. We're in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We have big, big trouble. That's why after this commercial break, I'm bringing on a very good friend of mine, someone who's on CNN a lot more than I am, to talk about this situation. We've only got about 30 minutes left in this show, but my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are just plain out there proclaiming it's time to get violent. I'm going to be right back after these messages with my friend. I want you to listen in, okay? Because this is very, very important. It's been good talking about Nate McMurray and Chris Collins. That's a race we need to pay attention to. We'll be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
Candidate Hillary Clinton, it's a call to arms, my friends. It is a call to arms. And when I think, I want to know what is going on in the White House. When I want to know what the president is thinking, one of the people I turn to is Steve Cortez, who's on the line with us right now. He is a warrior from CNN. He's been on TV as a commentator for quite some time, but it really doesn't come from politics. He's a good friend of the president, talks to the White House all the time. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Michael, thanks so much for having me.
Well, what do you think of this commentary out of Hillary Clinton? Are they really trying to drive people toward more violence?
You know, I think unfortunately they are. You know, and so, you know, what I think of it, I'm honestly a sort of two minds and almost two emotions on this. You know, on one hand, as an American, I find it just despicable that she would speak this way, that we have a major political leader in our country say we are not going to be civil. I mean, to me, this is the worst comment out of her mouth since she had the deplorables comment, which might have handed us the election in 2016. So, you know, it's outrageous that she would speak this way and that she would actually have the gall to tell us bluntly, we will be civil to you once we seize power.
It's like blackmail.
Right. I mean, talk about a fascist outlook. Like, you know, we will treat you well once we control you. In other words, until then, we'll resort to whatever means necessary. But I will say then, so, and that's the most important reaction, I think. But, Michael, you know, there's a partisan side to me, of course, too. And the partisan side says, oh, my gosh, she is the gift that keeps on giving. Because, you know, for her to say this, I think our side was already fired up because of the debacle that was the Kavanaugh hearings. Now you add this fuel to the fire of her coming out and just telling us to our faces, you know, we are going to be uncivil. You know, incivility is okay. It's permissible because we disagree with you ideologically. For her to be that blunt and to justify and, in fact, encourage the mob mentality that's already sprouting up among the left, I believe, is going to be, while it's terrible for our country, I think it's going to be great at the ballot box for Republicans and sensible independents who are going to say, wait a second, that's not what we do in a responsible and just society. It's not what we do in a democratic republic. We solve our differences through dialogue, through persuasion, through argument and debate, not through mob tactics, not through incivility. And I believe that the people are going to respond appropriately by electing Republicans. I was pessimistic, Michael, as recently as a few weeks ago about us keeping the House. I'm not pessimistic anymore.
I'll tell you, Steve, you come from the Midwest. You're a Chicago guy. You're a business guy. You're not a political guy. You were brought into this by watching the president and agreeing with, you know, the idea of a businessman coming into the White House to clear things up. But tell me what you think of this audio.
Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know. She and my wife, like, really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go up. No, no. When they go low, we kick.
Isn't that something, Steve? It goes to Holder, a former Attorney General Holder. It goes to Maxine Waters. She's every day talking like this. Where are we headed?
Yeah, you know, it's so disappointing to hear that. I mean, this guy, it'd be one thing if he were just some partisan, okay? If he just worked on campaign, if he were just a pundit. He was the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. I mean, for him to speak that way, even if he says he's kidding, for him to speak that way, to say, you know, when we have political disagreements, we result to violence. You know, we strike, literally strike back, not with our words, but with our feet. We kick. You know, those are brown shirt tactics and brown shirt beliefs. So I think what we're seeing from the Democratic Party now is from sort of the highest level, Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder, we're seeing verbal permission to act irresponsibly and for mob tactics. And then on the ground, on the other end of the spectrum, from Antifa, from a lot of people who aren't well-known and who wear masks to make sure they're not known. By the way, I always say on air, Michael, if you have to wear a mask on your face and it's not Halloween, you're up to something really bad.
No doubt.
But on the Antifa side, and by the way, these are not isolated events anymore either. I mean, they're happening with regularity where they use actual physical intimidation, at least the threat of violence, sometimes actual violence. We're seeing a disintegration of our public comity. As a country, and how important this is that we, again, always use dialogue and persuasion, not buggery. And that's, quite frankly, what the left is resorting to. And why? Why are they going there? Because they keep losing, because we keep winning. We're winning elections. We're winning policy debates. And most importantly, we're winning in the realm of real accomplishments for the American people, particularly as it relates to the economy. And so they're pulling their hair out, they're throwing up their hands, and like little petulant children, rather than saying, you know, how can we argue against these accomplishments, they say, we're going to throw fits, and we're going to scare people and intimidate, and that's how we're going to win political power, rather than the right way through persuasion.
Well, you're a CNN contributor, honest to God, paid commentator on CNN. You are up against some of the toughest commentators, contributors, and hosts on CNN. And I've caught a couple of segments, I know you've seen them too, where they're pushing back on the use of the word mob, the use of the words mob mentality on CNN and other networks. They're saying that's outrageous. That's not what this is about. Isn't that part of the the whole charade that they're a mob and you can't call them that?
Right. No, listen, you know, words matter and facts matter. And the fact is that when people go into restaurants and disturb someone who is doing nothing more than trying to have a meal, in the case of Ted Cruz with his wife, in the case of Kirstjen Nielsen with some of her coworkers, when they go in and scream at their face, in their faces, and surround people and chase them out of public accommodations, I don't know how you call that anything but a mob. When I look at the tapes of what Antifa did just this week in Portland, Oregon, where thankfully I don't think they actually hurt people, but they certainly threatened to.
And they tried to.
King Roads, you know, and diverting traffic and calling everybody white supremacists, people they don't even know. I don't know what you call that other than, you know, mob rule, other than a mob. Those are mob tactics, you know. And look, if anyone on the right engaged in those tactics, and for instance, some have on the fringe right, as they did in Charlottesville, that's a mob, and I'll be the first to say so, of course. It's unacceptable. Political violence, political intimidation is never okay from any ideology. Yet, mainstream media is always ready to dismiss it when it comes from the left. And you know, another host, Chris Cuomo, did so on his show. He and I have gotten into it several times on air about this very topic. He excused and largely dismissed the violence of Antifa because he claimed that it was fighting hate. And of course, I make the point that Antifa does, for a group that supposedly fights hate, they do a heck of a lot of hating themselves. They hate anyone who doesn't agree with their ideology. They hate me. They hate you. They hate anyone who supports Donald Trump, and they call us racists and they call us Nazis. That's pretty hateful in my view. And when you get hit in the face, by the way, Michael, and Antifa does a lot of that, you know, what ideology motivated the punch is not terribly relevant, to be very honest. It hurts just the same, and it's just as wrong, whether it came from some neo-Nazi skinhead idiot or it came from an Antifa thug.
Yeah, I had a tooth knocked out at the inauguration by a guy just was walking by me and just knocked it right out. Now, Steve, you're close to the White House. You're actually a friend of the president. Where's the White House head in this? What's the president thinking? I mean, I know I saw the president was talking about this whole new Democratic Party. He said, be careful what you wish for. At my rallies, they used to send in paid protesters, Democrats, Soros, etc. They don't do it anymore, but Holder needs to be very careful about the rhetoric. And he goes on to say that Holder went after lots of people when he had power, went after Christians, evangelicals, Tea Parties, etc. What's the president thinking? What are the people around him thinking about this heightened rhetoric where even Representative Scalise is shot down and Senator Rand Paul is beaten so bad that he's still in recovery a year later?
Right. You know, by the way, Joe, I'm glad you mentioned the inauguration because that got so little attention. You know, and of course, I was there as well. And thankfully, you know, unlike you, I didn't actually get hit. But I will tell you this, I was walking around a whole lot with my teenage daughters who were wearing MAGA hats. And it was really a great celebration, of course, you know, largely. But there were parts of that city, as you know, which were basically occupied by Antifa. Now, there were a lot of cops, so there wasn't widespread violence, thank goodness. But that's not because Antifa didn't want to engage in it. It's just because there were so many cops, it was hard for them to. But I got caught in a couple situations where my teen girls with MAGA hats were, you know, verbally totally assaulted. I was worried going to be physically assaulted. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But some really harrowing situations. And I thought to myself, this is America. This isn't the third world. You know, so many of us have ancestors, in my case, my father, who fled the third world for exactly these kinds of reasons, you know, for political violence, for corruption, for lawlessness. That's not why we are America. So we have to stop this now and forcefully. And so I think what the president is saying, too, to Eric Holder and others, is number one, you know, we will fight back. I mean, we don't look for a fight. We don't want to start altercations. It's the opposite of what we stand for. We want a peaceful, more prosperous America. But we're also done playing victim, whether it's in the political sphere or, you know, I hope doesn't come to this, but even in the physical realm, you know, that we won't be victimized and intimidated. And I think that's what the president's getting at. But, you know, look, too, I don't want to get too dour about what the left is doing. It's awful, but I think we also should take solace, Michael, that we are winning. The reason they're going as nuts as they're going is because they continue to lose. They're more and more marginalized in the political process, and I think the people see through it, and I believe that they're going to deliver a fabulous verdict in a few weeks in November where they say enough of that nonsense.
Steve, thank you a lot for taking your time. I know you're really busy today. You got to get off to an appointment here. Steve Cortez, ladies and gentlemen, one of the brightest guys I know, very close with the president of the White House. You can catch him on CNN and, in fact, all over the media lately. Steve, thanks for your time. I really appreciate your insight.
Hey, Michael, have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, I get to work with people like Steve, and it's just such an honor. I talk to Steve every day now because we're all working for the same thing. We're all working, he and I and others, we work with Steve Bannon and others to keep the House red. That's important right now. That's also about Collins and McMurray. We'll be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is 11:55. I just got 5 minutes left. You've got me tomorrow as well. And Sandy is back on Monday. You'll be happy to hear. Steve and I have talked about this, the violence that is coming together, the violence, the crazy rants and raving that we saw at the Kavanaugh hearing. Rand Paul still recovering from grievous, he had 6 ribs broken by his neighbor who was upset about politics. Stephen Scalise, Representative Scalise in the House of Representatives, shot down on the softball diamond in Alexandria. And we hear Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder calling for more. Maxine Waters, you kind of expect her to be crazy, but they're following Maxine Waters' lead. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard?
I think the whole left has gone crazy.
Well, I worry about things because I've gotten dozens of death threats because of my involvement with President Trump. And, we have a texter here says, yes, we are in trouble. And another texter says, if the Democrats are going to continue with inciting of the violence, I'm afraid we're in for a civil war in this country. And the only way this is going to stop is the silent majority is going to have to start speaking up and saying enough is enough. It's, what happens, this other texter says, when we defend ourselves? Some of us can, and we're running out of nice. I went to a show last night at the Ironworks. I'm sure some people there understood who I was, and they were absolutely sweet, nice. Everybody was. We were all enjoying the music. But I guess here in Buffalo, it's going to come. We had Antifa at a rally I saw a couple of years ago. It manifests itself in different ways. There's a restaurant in East Aurora, outside East Aurora, called Kip's Restaurant. But they proudly display Trump signs. I was so pleased to sit there with a 20-something Republican who just joined our committee in the town of Aurora in Kip's Restaurant. He is such a Trump supporter. He does not care what people think. And this guy makes the best breakfast 7 days a week you can ever have at Kip's. Right in South Wales. He proudly put out a sign when Sarah Sanders was chased out of a restaurant and said, Sarah Sanders, welcome here every day. But at the same time, we look at in the city of Buffalo, a new restaurant hasn't even opened up yet called the Station House is being targeted online because the theme of the restaurant is first responders, firemen and policemen. It looks like their interior is going to have a lot of awards and firemen and police plaques, and they have a pro-police banner, the Blue Lives Matter flag in front. And they've been targeted online with negative reviews on Facebook and on Yelp by these tiny, skinny-legged jeans, pasty-faced protesters who are trying to say, because you support the police, you're not allowed to be in business. We should salute any restaurant, any people who invest in Buffalo. These people at the Station House are investing. John Kipp at Kipp's Restaurant is investing. We should support the Station House. We should support John Kipp. The Station House isn't even being political. They're just supporting our first responders, the people who save our lives. I know we have people here in town who hate the police. I get that. We have to reject that ideology. We have to reject it completely. And I'll tell you, Steve Cortez is absolutely right. The president is watching this. He's watching very closely. I know you're watching it too. When Hillary Clinton calls for incivility, when Eric Holder calls for people to kick Trump supporters, it's going to get worse. somebody is not beyond Scalise, beyond Rand Paul. Somebody's going to get assassinated. I'll tell you one thing. It ain't going to be me. It's not going to happen to me. I'm watching over my family, and I thank God every single day for the police in East Aurora. Our family's kind of a pain for them because of all these death threats. But thank you so much to the Thin Blue Line in East Aurora, to the Thin Blue Line in Western New York. I salute police and firefighters. And we'll be back tomorrow here on Beach & Company on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Oh, but at noon, we have the noon cash code. Good thing I had it ready to go. It's joke, J-O-K-E, like it's no joke if you win $1,000. Text 72881 for your chance at $1,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.